All right, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to be in verses 26 through 28 tonight. We're going through a series on gender confusion, and it's amazing to me that people are so confused about genders, and usually it's people that are lost, and so many different genders they believe that are out there today. And we talked about gender and creation, how God created male and female, chapter 1, 26 and 27. And then we talked about gender and marriage. Marriage is between one man and one woman, not two men or two women. And tonight we're going to talk about gender and procreation. And we'll be in Genesis 1, 26 through 28. And due to the nature of what I'm talking to you about tonight, we won't be here long. It won't take long to expound this and as we begin to look at gender and procreation. God created male and female, designed them for marriage, and designed men and women in a certain structure so that they could produce children. But Satan wants to pervert God's design. He wants to pervert and the roles of women and men, and getting them out of their God-ordained roles and functions. Doesn't mean one is superior or inferior to the other one. It's just the way God has created male and female. But Satan is doing everything he can to subvert God's plan for the sexes. I told you about the man I was having breakfast with one morning. His daughter is a school teacher over in Tifton, down from Tifton, Pearson area. And she was telling her daddy, we believe there's only two sexes, male and female, but there are many different genders. And I don't know what cabbage truck she fell off of on that. I don't know, but there's only two genders, male and female. Now, as we look at our text tonight, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, and after our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created him, male and female, created he them. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish. Boy, I just thought just come to me, if I was a prosperity gospel preacher, I could use that text, be fruitful, that God wants you healthy and happy and well all the time. But that's not what it says, does it? That's how they pervert it. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now that word replenish there is called, some people who believe in what's called the gap theory, that God created and then Satan fell, kind of messed up his creation, so God had to recreate. And they say that word replenish there means that God had to start all over. But that word replenish just means to fill the earth. So I'm not a gap theory fella, because you have to read a lot into Genesis to get that. But procreation in Adam, first of all, in verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. God intended for the husband and wife to multiply and fill the earth in verse 28. How else are you going to have human beings without the command to Adam and Eve to replenish the earth? And God intended that children would grow up and they too would also continue to fill the earth. Now, unless you had the gift of celibacy or something like that, that would be an exception. But I want you to go to Genesis 3:15 and notice the first promise of a redeemer after the fall. Look in Genesis 3:15, and this is and God speaking to the serpent, to Satan, to man. He says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. And there has been enmity between Satan and the woman. And he says, and between thy seed and her seed. Now her seed, he also refers to Jesus Christ, her seed, the coming Redeemer. But thy seed also refers to his seed. All unbelieving people are Satan's seed. And says, he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Of course, that's talking about the cross. It wasn't a fatal blow, but God will deal Satan a fatal blow at the cross. So that's the first promise of a Redeemer. The offspring or the seed of the woman would experience an ongoing battle that will culminate with he, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, giving Satan a fatal blow. And when Eve gave birth to her first son, I want you to go with me to Genesis 4:1. When Eve gave birth to her first son, Cain, she thought that might be the promised Redeemer. In chapter 4, verse 1, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Many Bible teachers, along which I am one of them, believe that she thought this was the promised Redeemer that God would give her in verse 1. And then verse 2, and she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And you know, as time passed on, Cain killed his brother Abel. So when Eve gave birth to her first son, Cain, she made this statement, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And I don't believe we're too far off base with that statement, that she probably thought this was the Redeemer that Genesis 3:15 was talking about. Go with me to Genesis chapter 5, verse 28. Lamech thought Noah would be the promised deliverer. Look in Genesis 5, 28 and 29. And Lamech, there are two Lamechs in the Bible. One's on the evil side, one's on the godly line. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. But then it wasn't long after that found out Noah was a sinner also. Because in Genesis 9, 20 through 23, he did something very perverse. And you can read that. He was not qualified to be the promised Savior. So he couldn't be the promised Redeemer of Genesis 3:15. Of course, we know who the seed is, right? Tell me somebody. Jesus Christ, Mary's son, the seed, would be the promised Redeemer. And then secondly, I want you to note not only procreation in Adam, but procreation in Noah. Now here, go with me to Genesis chapter 9. We're going to be looking at verse 1 and verse 7. This is a little different tonight as far as moving around, more topical. Procreation and Noah. Look in verse 1 in chapter 9. And Noah blessed, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So we see a second commandment here, not only to Adam, but also to Noah. And now go down to verse 7. And you be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. So we see the second time a promise was given. Of course, this was necessary. With Adam, there was no other people but them. And here at the flood, there was no other people but Noah and his family. So God reiterated the command, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. But as you study Genesis, something happened. Murder came into the picture. So God instituted what is called capital punishment. In Genesis 9, 6, go with me there. Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Now, there's a discrepancy among many people. I personally believe in the death penalty because it is biblical. And you can read it also in Exodus 21, 12. So you see it in Genesis 9, 6 before the law. You see it in the law in Genesis or Exodus 21:12. But when we talk about capital punishment, it's a different Greek word. When you, in Matthew, when he says, thou shalt not kill, he's not talking about what we call, as far as the capital punishment goes. Capital punishment is justified by Romans chapter 13, 1 through 7. It is the responsibility of the government to protect us, promote good, and punish evil. And our government is to protect us from foreign beings, foreign countries. There is a such thing as a just war. You go to war, the Vietnam, like Brother Frank did, and you have to kill, that is justified. It is a just war. It's part of the fact of our sovereignty and protecting our nation and things like that. So when we talk about thou shalt not kill, we're not talking about capital punishment, because in Romans 13, God has given the government the right to punish criminals. And we're not talking about a just war. Remember in the Old Testament, God would send Israel into a country to annihilate them. So there is, we're not talking about just war, we're not talking about capital punishment, and we're not talking about self-defense. You have every right to defend yourself if somebody breaks into your house. Remember what Jesus told him? He says, bring along with you some swords for self-protection against the animals and things like that. So we're not talking about self-defense. We're not talking about capital punishment. We're not talking about just war. We are talking about murder. And so it is biblical. Procreation and Noah. And then thirdly, and lastly, and like I said, I ain't going to keep you too long because I don't want to get into the next one, procreation, homosexuality. It's going to take me two or three weeks there. Go to Genesis chapter 3, if you will. We see the curse came upon Adam and Eve because of the fall, because of their sin. In Genesis chapter 3, we see the promise of a Redeemer in verse 15. But notice what it says in verse 16. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. So part of the curse for the woman was it would be pain in childbirth. But then he said something there interesting. We always want to look at every word in the scriptures. And he says this, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire bring forth children, and they desire shall be to thy, and your desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. So here we see the results of the fall on womankind. And that multiplies sorrow. Not only did childbirth intend to be painless before the fall, but it became painful after the fall. And we can also read, go down to verse 17, you can read what was going to be the curse upon man and the work and things like that. But when I thought about that for a little bit, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. That's talking more than just pain and childbirth. That's talking about, children, stillborn children. That's talking about mothers who have children who die. That's talking about children who die in the womb. That's even, I think, in covering the pain, the multiplying their sorrows, even a woman that is barren. That's all part of the curse. And he said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrows. Now, if you don't believe that, that's fine. But I look at that word multiply. So it's all part of the curse. But this curse, praise God, will be lifted when Jesus Christ comes to set up his millennial kingdom. And he takes back what man, Adam, lost when God gave him dominion in the garden, but he lost it by sin. And ever since then, man is thinking that they can get it back. In fact, there's a whole theology called kingdom theology. We're going to win back what Adam lost. We're not going to do that. Christ, this last Adam, is going to do it when he comes to set up his millennial kingdom and his promised kingdom. In Isaiah 65, verse 20 through 23, And then also, since there's no marriage in heaven, there'll be no procreation in the kingdom. There'll be no procreation in the eternal state. Matthew 22:30. Marriage is only for this lifetime. You'll know your spouse, I believe. We'll be known as we are known. But it won't be that union that we had down here on this earth. So I hate to tell you that. If you really love your man, or you, man, if you love your woman, you know, you're going to, if I can say it in the right way, you're going to have that same feeling for everybody in heaven. Amen? Because we'll all be one big happy family when it comes to that time. I know I didn't mean to do it, but I just burst your bubble. But now that brings up a question as we finish tonight, because there are people who misunderstand this command to procreation, replenish and multiply, multiply and replenish. Is this command to Adam, this command to Noah, is it a command to us to have as many children as we can have without going to an insane asylum? Remember the two instances, Adam, there was nobody. Noah, there was nobody. But today, I believe that I know people that believe this. We're going to have as many children as we want to, but God said, because God told us to multiply and replenish the earth. I think some of them are doing a good job by themselves, right? But you got to put it in this context. It's a command to Adam. It's a command to Noah. I don't think, and here I'm getting outside of Scripture, I don't think anybody should have more children than what they can take care of. And if you're going to have 6, 8 children, depend on the government to take care of them, you know, that's not right, right? And I know families years ago had larger families, and they all worked on the farm, right? And things like that. But today, just to have children to multiply like rabbits and get a bigger check, and you know, I hate the analogy, but you know how fast rabbits procreate. You go to bed with 2, you wake up with 15, you know. But so it's a command here to Adam and creation, and to Noah after the flood. I think God expects us to use a little common sense. It's a sin to bring children into this world and you can't take care of them, right? And if you're expecting the rest of us to take care of them, and that's another sin. But the point I'm getting at tonight is I'm going through this series on gender confusion. And you know the obvious. Same-sex marriage cannot fulfill the command of procreation, right? There's got to be a woman and a man involved somewhere, all right? So it is a violation of Scripture to say that 2 men can get married and have children, or 2 women can get married. You're always going to, I hate, as much as you don't like us, you're always going to need a man, right? And so that's the way it happens. That's one reason why years ago I quit shopping at Penny's. And that's your choice if you still want to shop there. But when they had a Father's Day ad with 2 men and a baby, I called it quits right there, right? Can I tell you something? I think it's a little time that we Christians got a little conviction, amen? And got a little unction to us in those regards. So next week we're going to begin to look at procreation and homosexuality. And just like it's impossible tonight, as I said, for same sex to happen like that, it's also carried over into the sin of homosexuality. And we're going to look what God, He didn't create, you know, Eve and Yvonne, right? He didn't create Adam and, somebody give me an A. Okay, I wanted to alliterate with Adam. Aaron, yeah, He didn't create, so you always got to alliterate, right? He didn't create Adam and Aaron, right? A woman, so that they can be compatible and comparable and have the parts that are necessary for a happy union, right? Aren't you glad I'm covered that the right way? Okay. All right, let's bow our heads. No invitation tonight. I mean, it's hard to give an invitation on a sermon like this, right? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, it's very clear. But Christians need to know these things so they can better defend what Genesis says. It all goes back to Genesis and your intention for male and female, husband and wife, for a lifetime, regardless of what's being taught in whatever pagan school, whatever pagan university, whatever pagan home. We need to understand that these things are not right. And we need to educate ourselves on this to be a better apologist for what we believe and why we believe it. Protect us as we go our way. Put somebody in our path. Somebody we can be an assistance to, especially in this time when someone might need help. And I just pray, Father, that we'll be there for them. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.